Well, Andrea Rote does it like no other. Remember her when she used to live here? And it's been a number of years. Not sure where she is now. But her message is loud and clear. And still, or even more so right now, extremely relevant. This is Carol here with Arts Live and Local. Glad to be here. Bit of a whirlwind trip to get here. Yeah, okay, it was only from Olympia, but still. Lots of traffic on the road on this very early in 2026. I am sending the show the messages, the hopes, to everyone all over the world, whether or not you celebrate this time of year as the New Year, because as we know, there are many New Years, which means more celebrations and more time to reflect and renew ourselves and what we're going to do in this world and how we're going to do it. Yeah. So, to Venezuela, Haiti, Sudan, Syria, Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, Greenland, so many parts of the world, and these days, especially right here in the U.S. Today is the 10th anniversary of the Malheur uprising, the park that was taken over by the Bundy family in Harney County, and the people of Harney County stood up and said, whoa, go home. We don't always agree. Often we don't, but we work things out together, and this is our county, and we will decide what happens. There was a death in the end, and people locked up in jail. And a lot of hard feelings for a while. But people sat down together and worked it out. Would that could be an example for all of the world. Today, 10 years ago, I just heard it on the radio. A whole program about that. Dave Miller. Sending healing wishes. Well, today is also the anniversary of a good friend of ours at KMUN, the anniversary of his death. That would be Ben Hunt, who died 1 year ago. And we miss him. Jazz programmer supreme for many years. Healing to my beautiful granddaughter, who, thank you for asking, is doing so much better. And it was a delight to spend time with Aunt Janet, Lisa, and Luann, Lulu and Ned, and Vivian and Bob, and Gina, Kate, Reva, and Karen, to Jenny and Marietta, to Jean and Carl, Tom, and Peter, Hutala. Yeah. Birthdays. Oh, wait a minute. Before I forget, because it happens these days, if you haven't seen the cover of The Coast Weekend, find it and see it. You can find it online if you wish. Or you can go to various venues and pick one up, including Fort George. It's quite fabulous, and it is about us. KMUN, Sonidos Latinos, programmer educates and entertains, and there is the beautiful visage of Margarita Colimor, who is broadcasting these days Tuesday mornings from 10 to noon, a very familiar spot to me for 40 years. And she's quite wonderful. And so are the photos. Check it out. Wishing happy birthdays to a couple of KMUN affiliates, our recently former manager, station manager, Susan Peterson, happy birthday. To Chuck Meyer, my almost birthday twin, and his twin. To Lena Smith, they're all celebrating a birthday on Tuesday. And to Bill Svensson and Kyle Cameron. Yikes. I've known him since before he was born. How does that happen? Well, ask me another time. It's time for the arts because that's my main prescription for healing. And I have with me in the studio not a stranger to most of us, certainly not to me, and I think to many people in the listening audience. Nicholas Napton is here.
Hey there.
Hey, Nick. It's great to see you anytime.
How you doing?
I love having you here. Good. And one of the reasons I like having you here is because that means you've got a new show up.
It sure does.
Yes.
And I haven't been here for quite a while, so.
It's fantastic.
At least a couple years. I was here a couple years ago.
This is happening. Imogen Gallery, that's right on the corner. It's on 11th Street, on the corner of Marine Drive. And I've known Nick for a very long time.
Probably.
But he disappeared. And your mom. And I think you were buddies with some of my Brownsmead people, too.
I think I was.
I think you were. And you were making art a little bit later.
And yes.
That was a whole community. And I'm curious about that. The people that you were working with then, I'm thinking Roger, for example, who's gone to Detroit now.
Yes.
Who else?
There was Philip Johnson. Do you remember Philip Johnson?
Of course, Phil.
And then there was Sally LaCaffa.
Sally LaCaffa, who also is in Detroit.
I can't think of anyone more. Let's see. We all had a little group together.
When was that ish?
I'm going to say 2010. Or even a little bit earlier than that.
Yeah.
We were doing things around town, doing little pop-up
gigs. And Roger and I were doing shows.
We did shows together, and we worked quite a bit together. I miss him at the moment because he would have been a good way to stabilize that. Me and
Roger, you better listen. Better come back and visit.
Hopefully he is listening right now.
Wow. By the way.
He came to visit me also in Germany when I was living in Germany.
That's part of the reason that I said he's in Detroit and Phil's in Idaho and Sally in Detroit. But you also took off.
Yes, I was gone from 2011 until 2022 in Berlin, Germany, where I had lived before when I was in my 20s, and this time I was in my 40s. And it became a totally different place for me when I was in my 40s compared to when I was in my 20s.
Because of who you were.
Because of who I am or was. And I was much more of a responsible adult these last years and I lived a completely different life than what I had lived the first time. When I was in my 20s.
Now, but hold on though, did you grow up part-time in
I grew
England
up in
too?
Well, when I was a child, my dad is English, and my mom grew up here in Astoria.
Karen Malin,
and her mother was Helmi Malin,
that's right,
who owned the Coffee Cup restaurant there on 14th Street for many, many years ago. She retired, of course, in 1976 and closed the restaurant, and it became other restaurants.
Right.
I think Kim's Kitchen directly after.
Small place, but sweet, always sweet.
Oh, yes. And when my grandma owned it, it was the place to be along the river shore there when it was a working river shore, and it must have been the 1950s and 60s. And she had a partner. Hilda was her name, and they both owned
Helmi and Hilda.
Helmi and Hilda. And those two came from Finland together way back in the 1920s, it must have been. My grandma, of course, made it to 100 years old and died in 2009.
Wow.
So she got to see the whole 20th century, basically.
Wow.
And she was also quite a well-known person in the community.
Definitely.
As well as my mom, being a show, also a member of KMUN and having
Absolutely.
A show here for many years.
Yeah.
And also she was a city councillor and a member of the college board.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, she was also very well known in the community. And now I guess it's my turn.
Yeah, well, have you ever been involved in politics, though?
Here? No.
Yeah. Okay.
I
have
avoid
you,
it.
Good. Smart.
Except for those things that we go see and...
And vote, of course.
Oh, I vote.
Yeah.
We make sure that my mom votes as well.
Oh, there you go.
My friend and I.
Yeah.
So...
So, have you ever owned, like your grandma, have you ever owned a shop or a gallery or anything?
No, I would. Right. I wouldn't ever say
okay.
that I did that. But we did little things, more pop-up,
right.
as what is how that's named nowadays.
And were you making art since when?
Since I graduated high school, and also during the time in which I was in high school. And I then did...
Here.
Yeah, here in Astoria. I graduated from Astoria High School in 1989. And then I did 2 years at Clatsop Community College, which was also very beneficial for me because at the first year I got to spend time with Richard Rowland, of course. And then my second year there, I spent a whole year with Royal Nebberker, who was an amazing influence on me. And he really drove me until I transferred then to Portland State University and graduated in 1994 with a degree in drawing, painting, and printmaking.
You did. Okay.
Yes, it's a Bachelor of Arts, but it's still exactly what I wanted to do.
So, and you've been making art.
Ever since. I tried not to stop, but...
Unless there were times,
yes.
Okay, so did you go to Berlin the first and or the second time thinking that it was a better place to make art?
I fell in love with Berlin,
uh-huh.
and when I first went there, I told myself, this is where the place I have to be. And right away, I had many friends.
Mm.
And I just decided that that was going to be the place I was going to live. And so I did.
For the first time
when I was in my 20s, it was 9 years I lived there. And
so you did spend a total of 30 years there.
No, I would say more 20 years. But
I see. Right. The second time was 2011 to 2022.
Yeah.
Right.
But
right.
it's probably more than likely I will go live there again.
Wow.
But maybe I'll spend my 60s in Berlin.
Okay.
I spent my 20s and my 40s.
I love it.
And then maybe I'll spend
so
my 60s.
So you still have
in,
people there.
Oh, yeah. I'm very connected there still. But it's also more... I think I would just, if I needed to ever go there, I knew how to find them.
That's true. And you speak German or no?
I do. I speak pretty good German. And in the last,
that helps.
Yeah, in the last couple of years I was living there, I was studying at the community colleges there, German courses, which was really fun, really interesting. Because there, of course, you have all the foreigners in the studying in the German courses.
Right, of course.
And so that was a beautiful way to learn new people.
Too.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this show coming up is called Surfing with a Life Jacket.
Yes.
Which sounds a bit... Are you a surfer?
No,
okay.
But many of my friends are, and speak
but.
A lot, and
so you
I was
know
a little
about
bit
about surfing. Okay, tell us this anecdote, or I can tell just the little bit that you wrote, but I'd rather if you would say, how did you come up with a title like that, and
okay.
why? Okay.
So, as I wrote an email to Carol this morning and explaining the reason why I decided to call the show that. And the reason is that unfortunately I suffer from seizures sometimes. And because of that, I have to see a neurologist. And I was speaking to my neurologist, and most of the time I'm pretty cheeky with doctors. So
I did laugh out loud when I read this. Go ahead.
Yeah, the email. Yeah. And so one of the discussions was if I could swim. And he said, no, only with a life jacket. And being observed by a lifeguard, which I thought was a little bit over the top. So then I asked him, well, am I allowed to surf? And he says, no, only with a life jacket. And as I was thinking that, as he was telling me that, you know, I was just asking him out of the blue. And he said, I thought about that. And I said to him, well, that wouldn't look very cool.
Yeah, right.
Considering the idea that surfing is so cool.
Right.
And so
and you don't surf, but
yeah, and I don't surf. It's right. It's a little bit, I just wanted to sort of
tweak
be cheeky.
Yeah.
as I am. Yeah. And the whole idea of surfing with a life jacket, and I talked to some surfer friends of mine, mm-hmm. and they laughed really hard about it. And so that's the reason why I named the show that.
But how does it relate to you?
Well, to me, it relates to, it's sort of, and as I was
making art.
Yes. And it's, as I was writing in my email, I was saying, this is sort of the way in which I go through my life is because I like to live on the wild side, obviously living in Berlin in all those mm-hmm. years. And it's a little bit so that I have to wear this life jacket, which is more of a so metaphorical life jacket. And so I'm explaining myself to the world that it's like as if I was surfing, I would have to be wearing a life jacket. I'm not like the other people that can surf without the life jacket.
So what, is there a way to, or do you wish to describe in words what your life jacket is with painting or drawing, or is that what we're going to see in the show?
Well, I don't think we'll see many life jackets in the show.
That's
metaphorically. We'll see the life jacket on the sign that's
right.
up there, that, you know, naming who I am. But I guess I see, now that we're talking about it, I see art as my life jacket.
Mm.
Because even though I do all kinds of things, that what always saves me is art.
Mm.
Whenever I'm down, whenever I'm feeling like I don't have a purpose in life, I always can return to art. And so I guess this is what the show is about, because after returning recently, 4 or 5 years ago mm-hmm. to Astoria from Berlin, it's art has always been what keeps me afloat.
Sustained.
Or just or the idea that I will always have something in my life, which is what I studied, and which is, you know, there's been times in which I haven't had the possibility to make art because of the situations I was living in my life, which, as we're saying, living on the wild side, one doesn't quite get the time or the place mm-hmm. to make art. But now that I'm here, I have that. I have my own studio and a studio that someone can't throw me out of, because I've been thrown out of many studios in the past
mm-hmm.
and have abruptly mm-hmm. had to stop working. But now that I have my own place, this is the time in which I feel like I can really begin to be an artist. I'm in my 50s, and all those years of trying to be an artist, and finally now I have this stability in my life to where I can actually work for more than just a few months and having to run away. Now I have a place where it's mine and no one can kick me out of it.
You know, I've never heard someone put it that way. And there are several opportunities in this area with art residencies.
Yes.
So that someone is given a studio space for 3, 6 months, maybe even a year.
Yes, I've heard of that.
And even a stipend. And I know it's a great honor and feels good, but the way you just put it, it's really a lot more. It's actually feels as though it's pervasive. It's throughout your whole being that you can feel, now I'm here. No one can kick me out. This is my space. And
exactly.
I can just focus.
Yes.
So this art that you made now, I haven't seen it yet because it's just got back.
Next
different.
Week
it opens.
Let's yes, it opens people. On the 10th.
Saturday.
Yeah, which is the second Saturday. Right. It doesn't open tomorrow, but it opens...
A week from tomorrow. So it's not up yet.
No, it isn't up yet.
But we're going to see, it sounds like, two different sizes, styles.
Oh, yes.
Tell us.
There are some very large canvases, and one canvas that is really big.
Like what?
I measured it the other day. It's 70 by 54.
Oh, that's
and
big.
And it's figurative. It's all figurative work,
wow.
And which is what I always concentrated on, which was what I was inspired by Royal Nebuchadnezzar to work on to concentrate on the figure.
Right.
And when I was studying at PSU, I very much took it upon myself to learn how to draw the figure. And there's never been a chance in which I could show that.
Mm.
I would always sort of avoid that. But I made this decision in my life, it's going to be the figure now.
Wow.
And that's nice. Mostly because of this fact that I'm stable, I can do what I want, and it's almost like I get up every morning early, I drink a cup of coffee, and I write in my journal, and I tell myself what I want to do. Mm. And during this time, I say it's got to be the figure, it has to be big, and I'm doing this completely on my own. I don't mind what anybody else is doing. This is just something that I've always wanted to do. And so, as I say, now I have that possibility to do that.
It's exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I really like the work that I've done in these last months.
Great.
For this show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm much more excited about what I will do in the future, because one of the paintings has really inspired me, and to be able to do more big, almost life-size figures, but also in the show are smaller works that I've sort of pages from my sketchbook that I've cut out. I took one of my sketchbooks and I cut it all apart, and I cut the pages out and I framed them. And they are also very figurative pieces, but working with ink, pen, and watercolor pencils.
Did you use in either of these the large paintings or the smaller drawings models or
no?
No.
That's
Whoa, that was quick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about it being
no,
quick.
No, that's good.
But it is, in one sense, trying to do it from memory, trying to draw the figure from memory. And after working so much with the life model when I was younger, and also doing all these sketchbooks of using the figure, I was always, when I was doing these, working with the figure in my sketchbooks, I was like, what am I going to do with this? I want to make this more than what
it
is.
You sound very focused.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
It's been coming for years that this is a time in which I can I can actually produce the large figure and then have it also having figures interact with each other instead of just one figure. Although a lot of this is just the single figure, but then there are a lot of pieces that are many figures together.
I'm very much looking forward.
Oh yeah, it's gonna.
I've seen your work over the years changing in many ways. So this is exciting. Again, folks, this is for Second Saturday Art Walk, which is next Saturday, a week from tomorrow, and
it's at the Imogen Gallery.
Nicholas Napton. That's Nicholas with an N, Napton with a K.
Exactly.
It's English. Or German, but at Imogen Gallery, which is on 11th Street and Marine Drive, Surfing with a Life Jacket. And by the way, you do have a few more days to see the shows that have been from the last month. I highly recommend you do so, including one of the people mentioned, and that's Richard Rowland, has a show up at River Sea right now, together with two clay partners. And they were on the show as well. So have a look. Nick, thank you so much. Congratulations.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much. It was very nice to talk to you again.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Okay, folks, a little music, and I've got more guests coming. KMUN Arts Live and Local Carol here. Here's some Ukrainian New Year's music from Kitka. Called Winter Songs, And as I mentioned, this is a Ukrainian New Year's song. And the number here, by the way, is 503-325-0010. After the show at 4 o'clock, if you have any questions, call. I'll answer what as I may not be the... There's Deke Guidi laughing in the background. I didn't even start to sing. Oh, my God. Okay. So we have music that is very different from that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, very yeah. different. Okay, now, I have two old-timers here. Not one of them is playing on her cell phone, though. I'm not sure this is allowed.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry,
she
Carol.
She used to be a programmer, you'd think. Anyway, she happens to be the artistic director of the Cascadia Chamber Opera, and that would be, of course, Berenice Jones Centeno. She's back on it. Look at
this. Just making sure I have my info, Carol. Oh, leave me alone.
I've got your info. Okay. Well, the main thing is they are doing this incredible short, but incredible, or I should say an incredible opera. And with Berenice, as I already mentioned, is Deke Guidi, whom I enjoy having here as often as possible. And I have a brand new, am I right? Is this your first
Yay.
Time?
Yeah, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Very cool. Is it your first time on radio?
Yeah, it's my first time on anything, really.
Woo!
Woo!
This is exciting. How old are you, Adele Rogers?
I am 13 and a half years old.
Oh.
I know, right? I know.
She's tall.
I know.
What happened? I thought you
so
were
cute.
17. Wow. Okay.
She kind of is.
Yeah.
Going on 30.
That's the way it goes. Well, and Adele has a chaperone, the king. That's what I heard. We had the king here 2 weeks ago, too. It was Elvis. This time it's a different king. So Tony Kushner is here in the background, but if you have questions for him, you can call, too. Okay, so Berenice, do you want to give us an overview of Amal and the Night Visitors?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want information about the story? Brief?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure. So Amal and the Night Visitors is basically Giancarlo Menotti's retelling of history about Epiphany, which is January 6th this year, I believe, is the Epiphany or whatever. So anyway, the main idea is folks typically have done this opera at Christmas and
yeah.
that kind of thing, because it's
yeah.
sort of attached to the story of three wise men
right.
searching for the star. But it has certainly become one of those pieces that people like to do closer to the Epiphany. And I believe the real reason is it's just one less thing to do in preparation for Christmas and the holidays.
That's wonderful. Plus, so, there's so much else going on at that time.
There's so many
this
other
is
things.
Perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but in truth, it's a story about the three wise men on their search. But more than anything, it's about Amal and Amal's mother, whose role is called the mother,
mm-hmm.
and Amal's journey and learning about peace, grace, and so on. And there's
mm-hmm.
a lot of really cool stuff that happens between the kings and the village people and all of that sort of thing. So that's the main point of it, about
yeah.
community and getting together and helping each other out.
It's been done here in Astoria before, actually
yes.
at the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts.
Yep.
Only it was called the Pack in those days.
Right.
And some
yes.
of it still call it the Pack. But
it is the beloved Pack.
That
always
is where
known.
It's happening. I'm just going to say January 9th at 7 p.m. And January 11th at 3 p.m., yes, Friday night and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back to any of those details. But I, you're not singing, are you singing in there?
I am not singing,
no.
Carol.
Okay, because Berenice actually is a soprano, an opera singer. She's also the executive director of the Larson Center, so she's a little busy and doesn't get a chance to sing that much. But Deke, on the other hand, nothing else to do but sing. Oh, yeah, and teach classes up at the college.
And what do I teach?
Rhetoric.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what part are you playing?
I'm one of the three kings.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
So we have two kings in the
room?
We
have two of three kings.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This is pretty. And then we
Regal.
Have a princess, except in this there is no princess. Correct. So I have a feeling that 13-year-old Adele Rogers might be...
I am a Moll.
A Moll. Oh, my goodness. Now, I am not familiar with you. So do you sing in a choir, or how did this happen?
I started singing when I was in fifth grade. Brianna's husband, Dr. Centeno, he was my music teacher. And for our winter assembly, for a winter concert type thing, he asked me to sing Castle on a Cloud from the opera Les Mis. And I did that in fifth grade.
You were in fifth grade and he asked you to sing an opera?
Well, just a little tiny bit of it.
Who
just
is
one
this
of the
guy?
Songs.
Did you tell him that you were, could sing opera?
It was just kind of in our little like Wheels on the Bus songs that we were singing, he was like, oh, she has a decent voice, so let's throw her into this.
Okay, folks, this is how it goes down in a story, just in case you're wondering. Okay, yeah. And how did it Excellent. Feel?
It was just a little thing that I did at that point, but it was really fun. And my grandfather, Tony, who's right over there, he's been singing for a really long
Tony
time.
Kirshner.
So yes. It was just kind of like what happened. One thing led to another. And then once I got to sixth grade at the middle school, Barinas was my choir director for 2 years.
Oh, they've got you pinned in now.
She can't go away.
I cannot get away from them.
Okay. So how do you feel about playing this part? This is a pretty powerful part, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's really hard at times, but it's also, I'm having so much fun getting to, it's a really nice sense of community that it truly, you can't find it a lot of other places.
Is this your first production?
This is my first production,
wow.
Yes.
Yikes, lots yeah. of firsts for you.
Lots
and it
of
is
firsts.
The New Year, so
it is,
it's just
yeah. yeah. Yeah, so they're just all coming. But yeah. I'm very excited to be singing, and I'll get to sing with my grandpa, and my siblings and my mom are going to be dancing in the opera as well. So it's
nice.
A family affair.
Nice.
Three generations
I
all at once
it.
On the stage. That's really cool.
And have you been practicing walking with a crutch?
Yeah, I have.
That's not that's, easy.
No, it's not. It's really hard.
Yeah.
But it's
hopefully you won't need to do that.
Yeah. No. Hopefully.
For real. But
knock on
at
wood,
this point.
But
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely a challenge. It's just one more thing to think about.
And what about the memorizing? Because these two, Dee Guidi and Barinas Jones Centeno, are both professional opera singers, and your grandpa. Well, he just has a really good brain and remembers things. So how did this, how's it going for you memorizing?
It's scary being with all these professionals on stage and having to throw myself into the ring. But it's been going really well. I've been working on the score with Barina since last September, probably. Not like the previous one, but the 2 years ago, September.
Oh,
so yeah. It's been a long time coming, and
wow.
I'm really glad I've had all this time to memorize it.
It's very exciting. Congratulations,
Thank
especially,
you.
I mean, to all of you, of course, but especially.
Can I brag on Adele for a second?
Sure.
Okay, so here's the thing. She's going to be very gracious, but this young lady has skills for days, dances, moves around on stage like everybody else, is thoughtful about choices on stage, and is really doing a great job.
I heard
job.
In her
yeah.
Language,
yes,
is sounding very mature.
And
yeah. I think somebody faked the birth certificate. So.
And if I could pile on,
sure.
This is not a Mozart or a bel canto aria or opera where the music is kind of in the accompaniment.
Right.
This is very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of contemporary modern composition, and Adele sings it like she's been singing it her whole
wow.
life, and she has been making us better because she's
yes.
so prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I can't say that I'm yep. always arriving the most prepared. And
see, once you become a professional, you can
that's
fake
right.
it. Oh,
no,
did I
don't
say that?
Say that? Don't say that.
What was I going to ask you though? Barinas mentioned that you dance. Were you one of the dancers in the past years?
I was, actually.
I've seen you.
Yeah, the last time that it was done.
Was it 2019?
2019, I think, yeah.
Wow.
I danced with my mom.
Okay.
And the time before that that it was performed, my mom danced while she was pregnant with me.
I was going to say that old last time. I just did the math.
Yeah.
And wow, so you've been on stage twice before.
Yes.
Once in utero. Once.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But first time singing. This is very exciting. Okay, folks, we are really pushing it time-wise. But, Barinas, tell us, where can people get tickets? And, again, reminder, this is a week from tonight, 7 p.m., and then Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts, 16th and Franklin, the Old Pack, which is still the Performing Arts Center for Astoria. So where do people get?
Yeah, you can go online to CascadiaChamberOpera.org, and you can also call 503-338-9132, and you can leave your ticket order there, and we'll call you back and set that up for you, and you can also buy tickets at the door. Of course, buying them early helps us out, makes right. people who run things not so nervous about people showing up.
And if you're going to... If you end up bringing other people or you need to buy at the door, come early. So if it's a 7 o'clock performance, get there by 6:30. Besides, this is open seating.
Yes, it is.
So it's always good to get there early and figure out where you want to sit. If you've never been to this space, it's a wonderful space acoustic-wise
yes.
as well. And so, and you can sit upstairs and be very cozy and look down on. Well, if you're that kind of person.
Did we mention this opera is short? It's only about 1 hour,
right.
Which is really
act.
Lovely. One act.
Yep. Right, mm-hmm. right.
It's about
but
an hour long.
It's a beautiful, you can look it up, A-M-A-H-L, and the Night Amal, and the Night Visitor.
And it's in English.
And it's in English, of course, Cascadia or Chamber
originally
Opera.
Originally composed always. In English, yes.
That's the difference.
Yes,
this
yes.
one's
written
composed.
In English.
Now, with a name like Giancarlo Menotti, one wonders why it was written in English.
But he actually immigrated to America in '40s.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So lived okay. here. This was written in '51, so it was he was
okay.
fully speaking English and everything.
Right.
So
right. Okay. Well, it's a beautiful piece, and actually, many years ago, our news person, Skylar Butenchen, sang
yes.
the part of Amal.
Yep.
And so there are many people in this town who are familiar. So I'm looking forward to hearing Adele Rogers as Amal. Deke Guidi, which king are you?
Melchior.
Where, is he the...
He's the middle one.
He's not the forgetful one.
No.
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 Okay. Who's doing that?
His name is Aaron Lang. He's a tenor
yes.
from Portland.
Oh,
and,
okay.
He's singing the... He's not necessarily forgetful, but he does have another difficulty, which we're not going to tell you.
No.
We don't want it to be a spoil.
No, no.
You'll catch it, though. It's very clear
oh,
what
yeah.
his problem is.
Very clear. And
Tony.
Barinas is an all-around person. She's got lots of jobs that night. You'll meet her. And then, Tony, what king are you?
I'm playing King Baltazar. The same role I played with Deke 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
When,
yeah.
when we were on
oh,
together.
Oh, how fun.
Yes.
So how fun.
I was very honored and pleased by being well, asked by Barinas to participate
lovely.
This year as well.
Right.
Yes.
A reprise.
He's great.
Yes. Yes. I know
to have
that.
You, Tony.
I know. Also. Okay, folks. Thank you so much for coming in. And Adele, congratulations
thank
for your
you.
First time on KMUN
yeah.
on radio and
thank
on Arts Live and Local. I'm sure we'll see you back here again. For sure.
Hopefully.
Okay. Take
thank
care.
You so much,
thank
Carol.
You.
Thanks. Next week, folks, a week from tonight and at 7 and 3 o'clock on Sunday at the PAC. And I'm going to play something from Amal and the Night Visitors for you right now on KMUN, Arts Live and Local, and then stay tuned, we've got more coming.
Children and mocks, all the flocks are asleep. We are.
Okay, folks, join us next weekend. And then, of course, during the day on Saturday is Art Walk. And that's when you'll get to see Nick and so many others in the wonderful galleries in Astoria. And speaking of what's going on, I have two veterans of the literary art. I had rhetoric in the last one. Now I have literary, all these fun words. But here with me are, I didn't write it down because I know these people. Florence Sage is here with me. Hi, Florence.
Hiya.
Not new to our audience or our town. And also Jennifer Nightingale, who is very much not new to our audience here. So,
hi, Carol.
Hi. Now, I wanted you to tell us, because it's been a little, it gets a little confusing. And I think it's exciting, but I want you to tell us what is happening with Rick's open, what's the official name?
Well, we're calling it now Rick's Mic, an open mic for poetry and creative prose.
Wait, that 10-word title?
No, Rick's Mic.
Okay, good, because...
but that's what it is, gotcha. A little description.
Instead of Rick's poetry.
Yeah, because some of our creative prose writers feel like, you know, am I supposed to be here?
Exactly.
Yeah. And they are.
Okay, that's great. Okay, but it's been going on for...
a decade.
A decade. And Rick was Rick Vrana, who brought us together at someplace
Port
else.
Port of Call.
Port of Call, that's right.
With the billiard tables and all.
That was and the television going. It was pretty weird, but it was terrific. And very sadly, Rick died after a couple of three, four years or something.
Quite suddenly he did, yeah.
And I think he was from Queens. I had a thing about because we're New Yorkers. but that's why it took that name of Rick's.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful because we can remember the origins.
Yes.
Tell us what's happening now, why it's important for you to...
Well, we used to meet every first Tuesday at Winecraft on one side or the other of Pier 11. And Winecraft was sold and went through some remodeling, and we sort of outgrew that space. And for, I don't know, it was 8 or 9 months or something like that, Dinah provided us a home for Rick's poetry, and it was on the third Wednesday. Well, now,
that's
because...
At Kala. Performing space.
Yes. Thank you. And so now, starting the first of the year, the new owners, Brian and Donna at Winecraft, have invited us back. They've made more room for us. And we could continue to go back to our first Tuesday time slot. So we're kind of going back to where we were before. And
now we're going to fit.
Right.
We outgrew it before.
So I can't quite picture, because it was kind of an L-shaped space. And so I can't quite picture how you remodel that. To make more room. So I guess we have to show up and find out.
Yeah, the sight lines are clear now, and the sound lines, and the piano's gone. And so, you know,
they moved the bar back so that it doesn't stick out as much.
Right.
And they also
So it's more of a performance.
Yeah,
space.
And they got rid of the piano, which mm-hmm. was in pretty poor shape, and mm-hmm. that gave some more space. And they just sort of rearranged things a bit. Right. So it's not Carnegie Hall, but it certainly is.
it's a lovely space, and it's right there on the Columbia River. Of course, that's when there's light out. It's always on the Columbia River, but no matter what time.
Whether we're there or not.
Right, exactly. And it does operate as a wine bar, but this idea of getting together. So tell folks who are thinking, what are you talking about? I never heard of this thing. Tell us about that. Florence, how did it?
It's a gathering of creative writers, mostly poets, but also creative prose writers, meeting monthly, and now it'll be first Tuesdays at Winecraft. And we just gather to share what we've been writing. And it can be old stuff.
Can anybody show up?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We really need the audience, and I can tell you that's very important for writers.
The audience, but what if somebody's listening and saying, wait a minute, I write.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Because when you're saying the creative community, I think this is a very open.
Yeah, it is an open mic. Yeah. From 6:30 on, we have sign up.
Uh-huh.
So 6:30 to almost 7.
Right.
And then from 7, we have readings. But yes, we invite every creative writer of any, even song lyrics, if they're poetic, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know, Carol, I remember way back when I first went to Rick's, it took me 6 months to have the courage to share my own stuff because the writing was so good.
Yes.
And I had to have a glass of wine in order to do it. But, you know, ever since then, it's an opportunity to build community, to encourage other writers. We have all kinds of things like going on the community with Rain Magazine and other kinds of activities, and everybody sort of supports and encourages each other, and that creates community.
But I want to say it's also a reason to write something new every month.
There you go.
that steady pace.
There is a limit. It's a 5 minute.
Tops.
Yeah. And, and that's for real, folks. And the reason isn't because anybody wants to stop. It's just that there are so many good artists, writers, poets in this town and in this area. You don't have to be from Astoria. Mm-hmm. That if you go over, it means somebody else gets bumped.
Yeah. We've been having about 25 readers usually. That takes up some time. So 5 minutes is it.
And so you might want to, if you haven't been there before and you've got something to read, come and listen the first month and then get a feel for it. And then you'll be raring to go.
Or even if you just want to come listen.
I was going to say, I'm a listener myself.
You like listening, yeah.
I'm an audience member, and it's a joy.
And we appreciate listeners.
Yes. Don't we all? That's why we're on radio, too.
Yeah.
We appreciate you out there in the audience listening to KMUN right now. That's KMUN.org. And even though we're in the new year, you can still go to the webpage. You can listen to a podcast of this show. You can buy merchandise. You can donate. And very important, you can see the community calendar that tells you what's going on. And there's a lot going on here. We are out of time. Anything else we must hear?
Happy New Year,
Happy New
everybody.
Year. And the date is January 6th. That's this first Tuesday coming up this coming week. And it's 6:30 if you want to sign up to read or just come in at 7. But I think you should come before 7 because I've gotten there at 7 sometimes. There's no place to sit. So
there's more room now.
More room.
So that helps.
That sounds good.
Yeah, so come on.
And it's winter, so we'll stay warm in there. Yeah. Okay, thank you so much. Florence Sage, Jennifer Nightingale, two of our Nightingales in this town. And you're listening to KMUN Astoria 91.9 and KTC Tillamook 89.5 KMUN.org.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.